This morning I'd like to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Title of my message this morning are The Unmentionables. The Unmentionables. And we're going to look at a familiar parable and some parable of the pounds or the parable of mirrors. And we're going to talk about who Christ did not talk about. And we're looking at Luke chapter 19, verses 13 through 27. And before we go and we read this passage, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity to open your word. Father, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we thank you for our veterans. Lord, we just ask that the truth of your word will shine in our hearts, and Father, it would change us. That we would leave here more like you. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would have full reign here today. We ask that you bind Satan on our behalf. We ask that you take away all distractions and help us focus on your truth. Father, someone here does not know you as Savior. Lord, I pray today that would be the day of their salvation. That they would have eternity settled forever. Lord, be with us today in this short time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In verse 13 of Luke chapter 19, it says, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him. To him he had given the money, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And he said unto him, and I've lost a verse, verse 16, okay? And it came to pass that when he was turned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And that was, oh boy. Okay, that's right. Verse 16. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up where thou layest down, not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou gavest not my money into the bank, that at by my coming I might have required mine own with usury or interest. And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that had 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, it shall be taken away from him. But those thine enemies, which would that I would should reign over them, bring hither, and slay them before me. This is similar, but not the same parable as the talents. Because it's told at a different time. It's told in a different place. And it has similarities because the truth does not change. The word for pound is actually mira, Mirror is a sum of money that's about 3 months worth of wages. And so it's a significant amount of money that the Lord entrusts us. And we need to understand that God entrusts us with jobs. God entrusts us with money. He wants us to do the best with it. And he gives them a command of occupy till I come. And in verse 14, we see that he's talking about Israel. Because in John chapter 1, he says, it came into his own, and his own received him not. And Christ is talking about that we need to work till he comes back. It says in this parable that a man went to receive his kingdom. He's talking about Christ. So the certain man, okay, is Christ. He's the ruler. You know, there's a lot of stories, there's several stories, where Christ asked a question. One day he healed 10 lepers. And they went on their way. And one of the 10 lepers came back and worshiped God for what had been done to him. But the other 9 just kept on going. And he asked this question, where are the other 9? And we need to understand here that God's got several things for us. First of all, the gift of God to his servants. God gives the same gift to each of his servants. He gave 10 servants and he gave them each 1 pound. And we need to understand that God gives this gift. The gift is available to all of us. It's what we do with this. And this is a parable about faithfulness and stewardship. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, we study the book of Ephesians. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The gift that God gives to everyone is salvation. But the issue is you have to receive the gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the ticket to get you into heaven. But additionally, once you get saved, he gives us a gift. We all have a spiritual gift. May not be the same, but it has the same purpose. The purpose is that we're supposed to use it for the glory of God. We see in this parable that there is a gift, the same gift given to each of his servants. And then we see that there's a command of God to his servants. And we all have this command too. It's called the Great Commission. He says, occupy till I come. Basically, the word for occupy means to carry on the business. He said, you want to carry on and you want to increase this by trading. Trading implies that you have to go and talk to people. Trading implies that you have to deal with people. Trading implies that you have to use what God gives us to increase it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, it says, be not slothful in business, but be fervent in spirit. How? Serving the Lord. If you're not serving God, you're slothful. Okay? If you're not serving God, you're not fervent or you're not hot in spirit. But if we have a true vision of God, we accept him as a little child, we can say, oh, how I love Jesus, and we'll do things for him. As we get into this message, we see the reward of God to the faithful. There were 2 of these servants that did something with what God gave them. One took the mirror and got 10 more. Another took one and got 5 more. And they got the same recognition. They got the same reward. And he says that we're going to be ruler over cities. And the issue is that the reward, God rewards the faithful. We've been going through the book of Revelation and time stuff. And in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. The context of this parable is basically Christ is getting ready to go to the cross. Christ is talking about the kingdom. They think it's a physical kingdom. He's talking about an eternal spiritual kingdom. And he's trying to tell them, he says, the man goes to a certain, goes away to receive his kingdom. Christ did that when he ascended to heaven. And he's coming back to claim it, the earth again. And he brings his reward with him. And we see that God rewards the faithful. But there's only two. What about the other eight? What happened here? Well, we know about one. There's the judgment of God to the faithless. And the whole point about it is, if you read this passage and we just read it, he had an improper view of God. We need to realize that God owns it all. It's not ours, it's his. And God will do whatever he wants to do because he's God. And a lot of people get offended because God doesn't do what they want him to do. And so, the judgment of God starts when you have an improper view of God. It continues when there's an insufficient action for God. In the parable, Jesus says, he says, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou what? Wicked servant. He says, thou knew I was an austere man, taking up that I had not laid down, and weeping what I did not sow. And what did he do? He broke the commandment. The commandment was to take what I've given you and use it to gain more. Christ wants us to take what he's given us and bring forth fruit. Therein is his Father glorified. And the issue is, thou shalt be condemned for this. So this morning, we see in this parable, there's three that's talked about. But what about the other seven? What about those that might come to church on Sunday morning and that's basically all they do? And what are they doing that? God does not mention them. And this morning I want to look at three reasons why these seven aren't mentioned. You know, today there's a idea that we need to play it safe. And you will become unmentioned with God when you basically just want to play it safe. There's people that just want to do the minimum and no more. See, when you play it safe, you avoid the bad. And yeah, those seven are not like the wicked one. They did something with it, but did they do enough? Obviously, they didn't do enough because they weren't recognized. You know, Christ calls out people that play it safe or think that they're good enough. Think that they're okay. In Luke chapter 18, he's talking about prayer. And he gives an illustration about a Pharisee and about a sinner. And in verses 11 and 12, talks about the Pharisee's prayer. He's standing out in the street and he's making these loud noises. He's seeing, but he's not doing anything. And it says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. See, if all you're trying to do is avoid the bad, you're not going forward. You're just standing your ground. And we've talked about in Ephesians that we need to fight a spiritual warfare. We need to be growing forward. We need to press towards the mark. And I think a lot of us today basically don't look at what God wants us to do. We compare ourselves to others and we say, well, I'm not as bad as that, so I must be okay. God's not pleased with that. You're not mentioned with that. And one way is because you're playing it safe, because you're avoiding the bad. You know, there are some jobs in the world that the best you can do is just break even. But that's not what God's talking about here. He wants us to excel. He wants us to have life abundant, joy unspeakable. But you know something? If you play it safe, yes, you will avoid the bad. You know what not to do, and you don't do it. But the other thing is you avoid the best. Playing it safe will avoid the best, because I want to do something that's comfortable for me. What would have happened if this one that didn't do anything was the only one? What happened if everyone was recognized by God? Obviously, if the other seven had done something and gained more pounds, they would have been rewarded. They would have been included into this group. But they weren't doing as much as others do. And so they were playing it safe. They said, I'm not as bad as this, but I'm not as good as that. And that's okay for me, because it's comfortable. I give you the example of Job. We should be such that we are singled out by God. In Job chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and hates evil? That should be all of us. We should all strive. Paul talks about striving for the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Folks, playing it safe in church. Yes, you avoid the bad, but you're also avoiding the best. And the challenge for us is that playing it safe avoids exercising faith. In Psalm 107, verses 23 and 24, says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. I'll tell you, the most terrifying experience I had was being put out in Biscayne Bay in a life raft during water survival. And the water's about 1,000 feet deep. And I can swim, but I can't swim that much. And there were varmints in the water. There were barracudas out there. You could see their fins. And that's a scary thing. But we had to do it. You had to be there in order to complete the water survival. And it was terrifying. You know, sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zone and not play it safe and exercise faith. Christ says, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can say the words, but do I really mean it in my life? It says here, it says, they that go down into the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, this issue about occupying or trading. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Oh, folks, don't be unmentionable by playing it safe. We need to understand. We need to exercise faith. We need to do what God wants us to do. We need to be singled out for Him. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, without faith is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is God, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that don't do anything because they see no benefit in it. I have that all the time. What if I do well on tests? You get a good grade. No, I want a piece of candy. Or I want a certificate. Or I want to be recognized. No. We only work when we see a benefit. Folks, isn't God enough? Isn't God enough? You can't play it safe with God. The disciples did. He gave them, He said, hey, you're going to be brought before magistrates and before powers, and you're going to be drawn and put in prison, and you're going to do all these things, but I will be with you. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you. Oh, folks, don't be unmentionable because you play it safe. Cast out into the deep. Increase your faith. You never will have faith if you never use it. If you never put yourself in that position. Well, some people play it short. What? Play it short? We only look at the today. We don't look at the long term. We don't look at eternity. The reason is because we do not realize the command and fall short in spiritual purpose. Why did Jesus say, occupy till I come? He says, because I'm going to receive a kingdom. I'm coming back, and I want you to be faithful when I come back. But the people were just saying, we're just going to play it short. We're just playing for now. We're not going to look in the future. Matthew chapter 25, verses 44 through 47. He says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And it's the same context as this parable here. He says, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Why aren't they the ones that are getting the 10? Why aren't we the ones getting the 5? Why are there ones that were just existing and not mentioned? Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Don't play it safe. Don't just avoid the bad. Don't avoid the best. Don't avoid opportunities to exercise faith. Do something for Christ. Amen. Glorify Him. Abide in the vine. And you'll bring forth much fruit. Don't play it safe. Don't play it short. We're going to lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. You know, sometimes we're unmentionable because we don't realize what God's telling us, and that His command is to us. That applies to you, but it doesn't apply to me. God's commands apply to everybody. And if you play it short and you just live for the day, you won't see the eternal benefit of it. Don't play it short. Do not realize the command and fall short of spiritual purpose. Do not realize the commitment and fall short of your spiritual potential. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 8 says this, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of people come to church, say, I'm saved, and that's all I need. That's just the beginning. You're playing it short. You're not adding to your faith. The commandment is do all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. That is good character. That's to look like God. Add knowledge. Learn more about Him. If we're not learning, we're dead. Learn self-control that you could go through these trials and exercise faith and not play it safe. Temperance, patience. Basically, understand that God wants us to have His character. And then you can be godly and then you can love like Him. Oh, that's what we want to do. But we fall short. It says later on in this chapter, it says, if you forget this, you forget the way you were redeemed. You forget why you are the way you are. Why God made you that way. So don't play it safe. Don't play it short. And lastly, don't play it silent. What did he say? Occupy till I come. Occupy means to trade. To trade, you have to deal with people. You have to talk with people. Work requires words. In Acts chapter 18, verses 8 through 10, it says, at Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, Paul is in Corinth. And he's for 3 weeks, he's dealing with the Jews. And the Jews start arguing again. He says, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I want to talk to the Gentiles. Okay? Some of them believed, it says, at Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all the house. And many of the Corinthians here believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul at night by a vision, be not afraid, but what? Speak. And hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. See, we can't play it safe. We can't be short-sighted. And we can't be silent. Because to do those things, we will be unmentionable. We can't be used for God. He won't set us aside. See my child? See what he's doing? Have you considered my servant like Job? Play it silent. Work requires words, and words require work. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 through 37, says this. For I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Words are important. What do you talk about? Okay. Do we easily get sidetracked? I know my students do. They'll talk about anything else except God. What about us? Are we the same way? Mm-hmm. Do we talk about everything else except God? If we're doing that, we're playing it silent. And we're not going to be recognized. We're not going to be congratulated by Christ and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We need to understand what Matthew 10, 32 says this. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So this morning, don't play it safe. Have some faith and go forward. Don't play it short. Have a long, eternal look at life instead of what's going on right now. Don't take thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of thought of itself. Mm-hmm. That's what Christ said. He says, seek ye first kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added to you. And don't be silent. You can't do the works of God quietly. We have to say something about it. This morning, be noticed. Be noticed. Follow him. Do what he wants you to do. And let's be the ones that are being mentioned as examples of following him instead of possibly being an example of someone who's not following him and went the other way. But just don't be a face in the crowd. Stand out for God. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for this day. Lord, I just ask, be with this type of invitation. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that today that they come to you, Lord. They realize that you died on the cross for their sins. Lord, I just ask that you just help us, Lord, to live for you. Lord, help us to not play safe, not play it short, and not play it silent. But Father, that we would be worthwhile servants, that we'd be worthy of the vocation where you called us, and would be faithful to it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.